discretion is advised.
Live from Glasgow, Scotland, it's time for the revolution in professional wrestling radio as Robert and Kenny prepare to take you inside the ropes.
Hi everybody, Sandra here, and you are about to listen to another episode of Inside the Ropes. You are about to join an episode of Inside the Ropes in a conversation already in progress. While Kenny and I were waiting for Robert's computer to get situated and let him on the internet because Solomon Crow had been wreaking havoc on our lives yet again he was visiting Inside the Ropes. He hasn't been in NXT in ages, but I swear he's still haunting the internets. Solomon Crow was wreaking havoc, and Kenny and I got to chatting. We got to chatting about wrestling, as is our wont. We tend to do that. We like wrestling. We tend to talk about it quite a bit, and we decided the discussion was so good that we would just start recording and go with it, because sometimes when the podcasting muse hits you, you just have to keep going and see what happens. So, you are about to join a conversation already in progress. Don't get confused. It is Inside the Ropes. It's just a little bit more free format, a little bit freestyle, whatever. That sounds super dumb, but you know what I mean. We hope you love us by now, and you can forgive a little bit of disorganization on our part. So, we hope you enjoy the episode. Here's Inside the Ropes after this brief musical interlude.
I was listening to Meltzer. I felt so bad for you because, like, he was saying, like obviously, like, Vince and stuff, like, they don't see a lot in Emma. Like, you know, like, not that they hate her or anything,
but they just don't get it.
They don't get it, but, like, they love Dana Brooke, so Emma was going to get a big push because she was going to be with Dana Brooke.
Oh, I know. This is the worst timing.
Yeah, so the timing, I mean, it's going to be so hard for her to come back from this. Because, like, she's just, it's the prime time that she's going to get something.
She was on the way up, man. Like,
she's going to be out for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, back surgery is not, like, ruptured discs and stuff. That's rough. That's really rough.
I'll be honest, like, I don't want to shit on Emma because I do like her. But, like, I don't entirely think the thing she plays on the main roster is the best. Only because, like, she does that thing that I'm not a big fan of, which is, like, you know when she comes out and she does the kind of, like, the little dance move thing?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that feels forced. It doesn't feel like it's, like, her naturally, like, doing that.
Oh, really?
Whereas when she did this, the kind of, the crazy Emma stuff, she just seemed like she was really awkward. So it kind of played into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I think it's just like, so like Sasha, I really buy into her being the boss, and Charlotte's just a great cunt.
Isn't she fantastic?
And this
is the most I've been into Charlotte ever.
Oh, I loved when she said, "Dad, don't woo, this is my ring."
I know. It's fantastic. Like, she's managing to keep heat on herself instead of just letting Ric Flair steal all of the spotlight, which is impressive, I would say.
Yeah, Natalia, I really like Natalia, but
Yeah, but she's
her
awful.
promo just let her down. Like, she just.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good at all. They're pretty brutal to watch. And it's unfortunate, like, because, I'm not like the biggest Natalia fan. I'm a fan of the Neidhart's being absolutely insane on Total Divas, but
I like her as a wrestler. I think she should be good, but I just don't. I think this is the problem. This is really sexist, but it's just how I feel. I feel like for the most part, like in women's wrestling and WWE, promos are quite forced in a lot of ways. I guess because most of the time in the past, like they've been given like really crap storylines. Do you know what I mean?
yeah.
Like jealousy, lesbianism.
Crazy bitch.
Yeah. So like when you watch a lot of the promos, it's bad acting that you get, and that's and you know the guys do plenty of that as well.
I was
But
gonna say, I
like,
don't think that's exclusive to the women.
but I think the problem was because they don't feature many women, it feels like it's more there
Yeah.
because you don't get that many of them. So like, what was my point gonna be there? So like Charlotte, like she, like I buy into her.
I
I
do
think she's
now.
great. But Natalia, like she's been there a long time.
A
And
really long time. And I mean, she's never really gotten a chance to be on the microphone all that much, but it is so cringeworthy when she is that, I don't know. It's just not good. Like, I'm glad that she's getting this chance, like, for all the years she's put in and whatnot, like, she kind of deserves something. But I wouldn't be sad if this is like the last big hurrah either.
yeah, I think so. She yeah, like I actually thought she was pretty good on commentary last week. Like I thought she'd stepped up the game a little bit. Like I was impressed.
I just don't believe anything she says.
I believed her more last week than I did this week. Like
Yeah.
last week, I thought she had like a step up in certain ways, and then like because one of the things she said on commentary last week that was really good was she was like, you know, Charlotte used to be a good, decent person, and now she's just a scared little girl. Her daddy's not there to protect her, and I was like, good lines.
Yeah.
And then she like did the same lines this week, but not as good. And I was like, oh, Natalia.
Yeah, maybe on commentary it's easier, like she can act a little bit more conversational. And I mean, as we've learned from Total Divas, Natalia conversations are like her cutting a promo on the world in over dramatic fashion, right? Like she isn't really capable of sounding like a human most of the time.
No, she's not. And I think she's kind of stuck in this sort of like Total Divas-esque character. And
Yeah.
but it'll be intriguing because like the women's division's kind of in a weird place. Because Becky's feuding with Dana, but then Charlotte's about to finish feuding with Natalia, and Sasha's not about, and
Which is apparently for long-term story reasons.
yeah, I mean, I assumed that Sasha was probably going to be the tag team partner of Becky against Emma and Brooke.
That would make the most sense.
And now, obviously, Brooke's on her own, but she's probably going to need somebody with her.
She's gonna need something. Like, Dana's not gonna be able to carry this by herself.
No.
Much as I love Dana boobs.
We all do.
Yeah.
We all love the boobs.
But she's Dana. Like, if it were revealed that Dana was not actually from this earth, it would make a lot of sense, I think. She's just such a strange person.
Yes. She definitely is.
I'm excited she's around, but I was excited for Emma and Dana more than I was excited for just Dana.
Yeah. I'll give her this though. I mean, like, I don't quite think what she's doing is working yet, but like I feel like she's more believable than a lot of people. Like I feel
Yeah.
like she's delusional enough that it kind of works.
Oh,
I
it's
mean, don't get me wrong.
absolutely like that's the thing with Dana is that she is committed to this so wholeheartedly and committed to being so over the top with everything that it's like, okay, well, you're a delusional prick. Like, I get that about you,
Yeah.
and it
By
works because you are like,
the way, are you recording this?
am I? Let me see. Yes.
Oh, perfect. Send me this file because I think this would be quite a good discussion to put in as part of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the thing that's weird about Dana, I mean, I hate her theme music. It's so crap.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Like, I'm glad that she gets to have her own theme music at the moment because instead of like just coming out to Emma's music like she did on SmackDown, I don't know.
Do you think that after SmackDown, like, do you think she got in, Emma got injured on Sunday? They were like, "Oh no, we need music for Dana. We've got like 4 hours. What do we have?"
No, that's her music.
Oh, is that okay? That is her music.
Yeah, and then that's she's been got her like music.
She's got like a basic Hulk Hogan fonted Titantron.
Yeah.
Yellow red.
Is it yellow red? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
It was always pink in NXT.
It could be worse though. She could be the Shining Stars of Puerto Rico.
Oh my gosh, they're terrible. They're so like I just feel bad. I just want to give them a hug. Like I could just see in their eyes as they were trying so hard. Bless them. But
it's funny. Somebody put up a funny meme. I don't really buy into it, but the meme's quite funny. And it's like the left hand side is the Colognes, and the right hand side is Damian Sandow, and it's got like the top left is like. Primo and Epico, setting bottom left is Los Matadores, top right is Intellectual Savior, right middle is Mizdow, and then the bottom is Vince on both sides, and on the left it's like keep trying, and on the right it's like fire him, and then with the Colognes one it's like not working, and with Sandow it's like it works.
It's too true. My thing with the Shining Stars, right? Okay, so in all of the little vignettes, they say, you know, come to Puerto Rico, the Shining Star of the Caribbean. So they are from the Shining Star of the Caribbean. Then they debut and they're called the Shining Stars. So we have the Shining Stars from the Shining Star of the Caribbean. And then their finishing move is called the Shining Star. So the Shining Stars from the Shining Star win with the Shining Star. Like, maybe choose new words. Or well, the switch other thing it up a little, like...
What I think is quite funny is, so their thing is, the ring is Puerto Rico, and their opponents are tourists who they want to beat up.
Yeah?
To get out of Puerto Rico, because then they want to show the fans their paradise, which is Puerto Rico.
So, we want to beat up the tourists so that you come there? Like nothing about this makes any sense at all.
34 writers it took to come up with this.
We are heels, come on a nice vacation, like what? But then we'll beat you up so that more people come on vacation to our home.
Of course. See, I liked the vignettes because they were crap.
Oh, I think they're hilarious as vignettes. I think Robert's, you know, Puerto Rico tourism tweets were pretty great accompaniment to the vignettes. Those always made me laugh.
I feel like they should have put Robert in those shirts.
Oh, and just absolutely.
Because you know Robert would be the one trying to kind of like chat up one of the bartenders or something like that. Yeah. And you'd be like, and they'd he'd be great at that. He would absolutely be the comedy foil, which he wouldn't like to be. He'd like to be the serious, you know, Lothario, but you know, play what your strengths are.
Oh, I think he'd be okay with being the comedy foil.
And then they came out and like, I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting much better gear than they had.
Were you like, expecting like, more than this?
Well, I thought like,
so, I like, was expecting exactly this. Like, I wasn't so, like, expecting to see John Skyler and Corey Hollis be enhancement talent on Raw, but
well, like when the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase used to wrestle. Right?
Yeah.
He used to come out, I don't know if you've ever seen him come out to wrestle, if you ever went that far back in the vault, but
he would come out. I've seen probably, like, a little of it.
So he used to come out in the whole suit, right?
Right.
And then he would get in the ring, he would take the jacket off, and the shirt bit would just kind of be like a little insert bit to cover, you know, mm-hmm. as if he was wearing a proper shirt, and then the trousers would just rip off. So I figured that the Shining Stars, I mean, if you want to just go, I don't know why I'm trying to make this better, but, like, but why were they not coming out? What I would have done is had them in the shirts that they were in the videos with the trousers and the kind of, you know, expensive shoes, which they could, you know, or they don't have to have expensive shoes, but they could have something to make it look like they've got expensive shoes on, they take it off and they wrestle and take the trousers off, but have like, you know, like a pineapple that's a drink or something, and have like three or four women accompany them to the ring.
Instead of like just smelling flowers, which is totally Peyton Royce's gimmick, and why have they stolen it from her? Like, her entire deal, right, is I love my flower and I will smell it. Now they're having flowers and smelling them, and why is she A, not managing them, or B, suing for gimmick infringement? Because seriously, that's Peyton's deal. Don't take her flower away from her. That sounded really sexual.
Did sound very sexual. It sounded very sexual, and as we sound sexual, there is no better way when you think of sexualness to add in Robert Duffin to the conversation, and I think that Robert is on his way into the call. Robert Hello. Duffin, are you there?
I think so, yes.
We were just like waiting for you, and we decided that the chat was quite good, so we're just going to make it like the start of the show. So the start of the show is just going to be like a really cold intro, because it's just Sandra and I talking.
Yeah.
I don't know if I approve.
But we were overruled, sir. We were discussing the shining stars of the Caribbean.
Well, you see, are we actually, is this going to be the show now? Are we live now?
Yeah.
Okay, just give me a few seconds to get into character.
Okay, Bushwhacker Luke.
Such a good reference.
Yes, there's only going to be two people that are going to get it, and they're also on the show.
Well, you know,
the shining stars of the Caribbean. Yeah, I'll be honest, guys, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. I just know that they debuted, and there was lots of memes created about it today, mostly asking why this even exists. But I mean, can I ask, is it a holiday rep gimmick, or am I going to be horribly disappointed?
Their gimmick is, so they come out in, like, tights with the shirts that they had in the videos, and they just smell flowers on their way to the ring.
Peyton Royce style.
Now, Sandra, do you want me to describe what they see the ring as, or do you want to describe it?
Kenny, go right ahead.
Okay. So, the way they see it, Robert, and I want your instant analysis here of this gimmick. They see the ring as Puerto Rico, and their opponents are the tourists who they want to beat up, all because they want the fans to come and see their paradise, which is Puerto Rico, the ring, the shining star of the Caribbean.
So is the ring like an interdimensional portal?
No,
Puerto Rico?
The time machine came later.
The time machine was later on the show.
With the new day.
I do know about that. But I am...
I loved this ride, you guys. I loved it so much.
Of course you did.
I mean, I haven't seen this, but it does sound pretty shit.
Imagine like what you would expect after seeing those vignettes. And what we're describing, and it's exactly that. Like, it's
basically the way that you describe it is, you know, they refer to the ring as their Puerto Rico, their shining star. I'm kind of basically imagining like they're sort of like Caribbean Undertaker of the American Badass era. You know, he was like, this is my yard, and they're like, this is our Puerto Rico.
To be fair, though, The Undertaker was able to main event pay-per-views and draw decent money with his yard. The Puerto Rico, I mean, this has got superstars written all over it. Like, if there was ever two...
Yeah, it's not good enough for main event.
No, it's...
So basically, right, other than the fact that they think that the ring is a Caribbean island and they sniff flowers... Is it any different to Primo and Epico?
No.
They don't have Rosa Mendez.
So she's not angrily shouting in Spanish.
No. Dos, no. Sadly, no.
Oh, that's a shame. That was like the one good part of that.
You said that you heard a little bit about the New Day thing. Did you hear about the Kofi bit?
No, I haven't heard about it. But is it... I mean, they go back in time. All I know is I saw the picture, I saw the time machine. I've heard they go back in time. I've heard it referred to as the New DeLorean. I don't know, yes, they called it that. But
they called it the New DeLorean.
Well, the thing is, the greatest segment ever. But does Kofi... I haven't seen it because I haven't had any time to see it. Does he do the Jamaican accent? Is that the gag?
Well, he does. But here's the thing. So it starts off very well, and then for me it got terrible. I'll let Sandra defend it in a second if she wants to, but they go in this big cereal box thing or refrigerator box thing. It's supposed to be their new DeLorean, right?
And Biggie Langston is very insistent that it is not a time machine. It is a refrigerator box. Xavier Woods is mental.
And then they go in it, and then all of a sudden the SOS music hits. And Kofi comes out of it, start doing his old clap and doing the Jamaican accent. And then in probably my favourite line of the year, they're trying to drag him back into the time machine, to the DeLorean. Mm-hmm. And as they're dragging him back in, he says in the mic, "No, no, leave me here. 2009 was my best year."
Oh, wow.
Possibly my favourite line ever. And then it went,
it's
really
a delight.
Downhill.
Yeah, it got a little more crap, but I cannot hate on anything that involves a time machine and then weird like filter effects over it. The live crowd did not seem into it, but they didn't get to see the awesome like Windows Movie Maker filter effects either. So
I love that you think that one thing would have won the crowd over completely. Like the shitty little
would have just made the sound. It would have, and they didn't get to see that the New Day were then in black and white as they were wearing their false mustaches.
Robert, this was a show where they did a 3-minute video package
on the Golden Truth.
On the last 5 months of the Golden Truth.
Has that really been running for 5 months?
Oh, it's like my entire world just became perfect last night on Raw. It was the most wonderful, wonderful Raw. It was basically like NXT Redemption.
I think my
invaded Raw
up again. Goodbye, bye. I'm not sure I want to be a part of this conversation. I've not even seen this show. It sounds so confusing.
The thing is, it is actually a good show. Like overall, like it is a good show. There's some like I think the thing that's funny. Like Dave Meltzer pointed this out, and it was kind of the best way to describe it. You see the whole thing with Golden Truth, and them doing the stuff with Tyler Breeze and Fandango, which sadly are not called Febreze, they're called Breezango.
Yeah, which is dumb.
Like,
come on.
It's very much open.
Think of the product placement.
I know, right?
It's opening match stuff. Like, it's definitely opening match stuff, but, like, the fans do seem to really like Golden Truth. So, like, I'd rather watch, no offense, Sondra, be prepared. I would rather watch the Golden Truth and either A, get a chuckle or roll my eyes, than watch Titus O'Neil face Stardust ever again.
No, I'm like, okay with that. I love the Golden Truth.
So, but it's worth watching. I guess we'll talk about it more on Thursday because you've not seen it, so it's not. But Sondra,
you guys can talk some more about it if you like.
What was your favorite part of Raw for the lovely listeners of ITR Land?
It's so difficult on a show with a cage with its own screechy psycho theme music.
Don't you dare pick that as your favorite bit.
No, no, no. I'm just saying that these are all things that happen on Raw, Robert.
why are Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho fighting in lethal lockdown? I don't understand.
It's become why like Ed Wood presents wrestling is basically what I was seeing in that segment, and it was glorious. The cage has its own theme, and it's like
absolutely horrendous.
Like remember
when
the Hell in a Cell had the Metallica music, and it was like, oh, the cage has its own music. Now this cage has its own music, except for it just has some shite hung above it. It's great.
Well, yeah, because I just saw a picture, and there's like a mop and bucket.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't. What did it? Are they going to use that? Do they have to climb up and get that?
I think the weapons are there and they can use them.
Well, I mean,
probably.
I suppose I would rather they had silly weapons than weapons that he's never going to use, like a chainsaw or whatever.
Right. Like, I mean, there's like the barbed wire board thing was up there, and I forget a straitjacket. A straitjacket was definitely hanging. So,
there was also Mitch the Potted Plant.
Must be Mitch too.
That's true. The weird thing was, they have this. It's essentially a steel cage, right? With these objects that are like hung above it by like, I don't know, a piece of wire.
A wire.
Right?
They were just on wires.
But then like Dean Ambrose was like, "There's no way out of the cage," and you're like, "Is there not?"
As he's standing inside the cage, like, "What are you going to do?"
Because I'm pretty sure you
can just
climb over it or something.
What are they calling it?
An asylum match. Get it? Okay. Ambrose Asylum? Ha ha ha.
Yeah. I would rather have seen the other guy get a gimmick match and see, like, a steel cage with lights all over it.
They should upgrade the asylum.
Yeah, make it all sparkly lights instead.
It'd be amazing. It'd be like a glitter asylum.
But so do they win like by putting the other guy in a straitjacket or anything? Is it like that, or
I think it's just a cage match, isn't it?
it's pretty much just a cage match.
I think it's just a cage match.
Let's not over egg what it is.
But I think my favorite, like it's hard to say my favorite part of Raw, because on a Raw that had that amazing, amazing Golden Truth segment, a time machine, a screechy cage, but my favorite stuff is probably still the Intercontinental Championship melee situation.
The best part of the whole thing, Robert, right, was, so they do this thing where they say, where it's supposed to be Sami Zayn against Cesaro, and then The Miz and Kevin Owens are both on commentary, which is even better than it sounds.
It's so good.
Like The Miz is sitting there and Kevin Owens puts his headset on and Michael Cole says, Kevin Owens, The Miz was just saying about how he's going to beat you on Sunday, and then Kevin Owens was just like, Miz, are you telling fantasy stories? Are you telling stories? And then they end up getting in the ring and all four of them start fighting, and it ends up getting turned into a tag match with, originally, Shane McMahon comes out and makes it The Miz and Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn and Cesaro. And Owens is on the outside, and as he gets told he's going to be partnered with The Miz, he just shouts, no, he's the worst one! Which was glorious. And then they have a tag match, and it's really good.
No, but you just missed, like, the most important part of what happened.
Well, I was trying to not give it all away to him, but if... Okay, give it away.
Oh, I think we're beyond spoiler territory here.
Yeah. I, Robert, can we one day just, like, cold call Sandra with NXT spoilers and just see how she reacts on it? It'd be quite funny.
Well, there is a big difference there, that Sandra deeply, deeply cares about NXT spoilers.
I was going to say, Robert, really, if you really don't want to be spoiled on this, then I won't tell you what happened.
Like, I feel like I've answered a Skype call and stepped into some kind of nether world of podcasts. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really know what's happening here. I'm getting, but I guess you do get, but we'll just keep talking. I feel like I've just sort of stumbled into your conversation, and
well, that's kind of exactly what happened.
Yeah, and then there's like time machines and asylum cages. It's all a bit much for me.
And Golden Truth music videos.
Yeah, that as
amazing.
Well.
Amazing. But no, Stephanie McMahon comes out after that and she decides to, you know, just one up Shane a little bit and make it just a little better, because we did see The Miz and Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn and Antonio Cesaro on SmackDown. And she
did
thinks
they acknowledge that? Did she say, we saw that on SmackDown, we wouldn't want to do that again?
She didn't.
She did?
Yeah, she did. It was actually like SmackDown was acknowledged. It was crazy. I was like, oh, wait. Yes, indeed, that happened, because actually I did watch SmackDown, and it was.
She's got a book coming out, so she's now a babyface.
Yeah, apparently. Who the fuck knows? But
the same day they registered the trademark Lady Balls, which I can.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about, Lady Balls. yeah, they've registered the trademark Lady Balls.
That is the title of this episode. That's what I want to talk about, Lady Balls.
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Because what I really want to, this is what I want, because you know how every year there's always the rumor, like, what's the big summer storyline?
And Lady Balls.
This is what I would like to happen, okay? Prepare yourself. And given what you just told me happens on Raw, this no longer really seems that fantastical. basically, like, we see Stephanie backstage and she's got the night off, right? We'll say Vince is like, take the night off. And she's like, okay. And she's just backstage hanging out. And you know how sometimes in the backstage authority segments, we often see them kind of hanging around merch. Like, sometimes you'll see Stephanie with, like, Triple H's skull crown or Kane's mask. So Stephanie finds her WrestleMania outfit, you know, like her Zool outfit. And she's like, so fun wearing that. Kind of like if a lady finds her wedding dress, like, 10 years later, and she's like, just gonna put this on for a laugh. And like, she dances around the house and stuff. So Stephanie puts on her WrestleMania outfit, and then she's like bending over to tie her shoelaces, and who will we say, let's say Goldust opens the door and bangs Stephanie on the head, and she gets amnesia. But she wakes up and she sees herself in the mirror, and she thinks she is the female superhero Lady Balls. So she spends the whole summer, she thinks she's a wrestler. And she's called Lady Balls. And she brings back Howard Finkel, like, to be her ring announcer. And she wrestles, like, every week on Raw. And on pay-per-view, too. Maybe the network special in Japan. And she basically is introduced to the ring as Lady Balls. And she comes out, and she's Lady Balls. And she thinks she's in... Triple H comes back and he's like, you're not Lady Balls, you're Stephanie. And she's like, I know who Stephanie is, I'm Lady Balls. And she goes away, and I think that'd be great.
Do you know that it's funny, the first kind of podcast that I've done since I've sort of stepped back from a lot of what culture duties, and people might be like, I want to tune in to see what Kenny's up to now. And that is the pitch that is being given on this episode.
Tell me you wouldn't love that? You wouldn't love to see...
Oh, I would
like
tune
we
in.
Had we had the Summer of Punk. Why can't we have the Summer of Lady Balls?
I would watch TNA Impact if Stephanie was on that doing that storyline. I would watch any show that on.
No. And then, this is the best part, okay? So they do the whole Summer of Lady Balls, and then it's really popular and critically successful. DaveMeltzoid.org gives it 5 stars. And then, obviously, later in the year, TNA do the same storyline with Dixie Carter, and she comes out as Madam Scrotum. And everyone's like, for God's sake, TNA, you're so shameless. She's like, I'm Madam Scrotum. Brilliant.
But back to you, Sandra. Do you want... I think you were talking about something else.
This is my absolute favorite conversation.
This is what happens when I'm not there from the start. I don't really know my level, and things just happen.
Can I, before you go back to one of my...
In all seriousness, right, though, I can't be standing in Waterstones, right, and I'm looking, what are the new hardbacks out this week? Because I go every week to check out what the latest releases are. And I'm like, oh, there's a new Jeffrey Archer book out. Stephen King's 6th book this year.
Oh, look, there's a picture. Lady Balls.
Oh, look, there's a picture of Stephanie McMahon and doing that kind of mad grin. That, you know that, you know the smile, the kind of, smile that she does.
Trying to be sexy, but being more like China.
Yeah, but there's too much gum. And then she's just like, Lady Balls, emblazoned the crotch. I really hope it's called Lady Balls.
She would have to be crotch chopping on the cover, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite thing that happened over the weekend in wrestling is that you know how obviously Dean Ambrose like smashed up Jericho's jacket?
Yeah.
Jericho blocked WWE on Twitter.
I saw that.
So good. He's doing great work right now. I mean, it's a shame he's stuck with Ambrose and a weird cage thing, but he's great right now. He really is.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah. If not for Chris Jericho, I would not be nearly as invested in this weird cage thing. I mean, screechy cage music aside, Jericho's fantastic.
Oh, God. What else happened on Raw?
Yeah, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn teamed together.
Oh, that's what you were getting to before I swung in the lady balls.
Yes.
Distracted everybody.
And it was great, too, because like Stephanie actually was cognizant of the fact that, well, Kevin Owens loves to walk out on matches and just not give a shit, right? So she actually made provision for it. She was like, if you walk out on the match, then you're not in the Intercontinental Championship match on Sunday. So fuck you, Kevin Owens. And it was great. And I just, it was this moment of logic and this moment of sanity. And I love the Intercontinental title picture enough right now that, like, I'm not as worried about throwing the belt into the sun. And you know that's a big thing for me.
And do you know what main evented Raw, Robert?
The ladies.
The ladies main evented Raw, which was also
exciting. I did see that. I saw Natalia retweeting a lot of congratulations for getting the main event segment, which I thought was quite cool. Further proof of their determination to make this. You know, it's kind of funny that once they stopped talking about the Divas Revolution, they've actually started to do things that feel revolutionary.
Well, they needed to just stop saying the words and actually do something. And it's working.
Yeah, speaking of the new era, yeah. Maybe they need to, well, you know, we'll see how that pans out.
But Sandra, you are, sometimes you don't get a chance to come on the main show and talk about things. And obviously, you and Robert are going to talk about NXT in a minute while I go off to interview Rich Brennan. But for Thursday's show. But Robert didn't know that was what's going to happen, so that's why I'm saying it out loud, so Robert gets the reference.
Yeah, I don't know, I just get called in.
You're just
Lady
here.
Face.
So while Lady Ball's going to get to grips with that, Sandra, there must be one or two topics you want to talk about from either news or about wrestling, not from NXT that you're going to talk about with Robert. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Oh, I wasn't prepared for this.
I tell you what you should be bringing up. You should be bringing up the Twitter exchange between Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt at the weekend.
That Twitter exchange was so, so great. Robert sent me a piece of it, and I actually screen capped the rest of it. So let me pull that up a second. So it's really, really
good. While Sandra's looking for that, can I just ask, because, you know, I was not around at the start, like, did you guys do the housekeeping? Did you do the plugs?
No.
No, because this actually started as just a conversation, and Kenny said, are you recording?
This
I said, yeah, now we have a
episode
show.
Ever. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Feel free to do it if you want.
Yeah, do plugs now, and we'll talk about Twitter in a minute.
Well, if you've made it this far, welcome to the podcast.
We're doing a tour.
This is Inside the Ropes, and not that you would know that, but then, you know, the other two didn't exactly pull their weight and start this shift. Welcome to Inside the Ropes.
I'm here, aren't I? We're just covering up for your skin.
Wait a minute. Is that your fucking housekeeping? Welcome to Inside the Ropes.
Well, that was vital for the people to know.
All the Facebook and the stuff, and like, if you honestly got this far and you've not even talked about the Heyman thing,
we didn't intend to start the show.
It just started. So
it started.
Robert, tell
more
us.
More ears on us than ever. And you can't even open a show properly. People have switched off by now.
Robert, tell people about Paul Heyman. What's happening? What are the dates? What are the venues? What are the prices? What's going on? Tell us.
Give me a minute.
Oh, you have to pull it up.
Well, obviously. So Paul Heyman is an American man. And he is coming to the UK with Inside the Ropes. We're going to be doing some shows with him. Hold on, for fuck's sake. Right, okay, Tuesday the 12th of July, 2016, we're going to be in the York Hall, Bethnal Green in London. Wednesday the 13th of July, we're going to be at the Comedy Store in Manchester. And Friday the 15th of July, we're going to be at the O2 ABC in Glasgow. Yes, avid Twitter and Facebookers, the 14th of July, there is not a show. But please don't get in touch telling us where you would like us to be. Please. Because trust me, we've already looked at these things, okay?
And anyway. if you want to contact us to tell us, oh, I'm on holiday while he's here, just don't. Yeah. We don't need to know.
No. Please don't offer up your living room. Please. Obviously, there are... Well, talk about the ticket packages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so discombobulated. I apologize to everybody for this episode. So there is a very limited extreme VIP package, which is £120 plus booking fee. That includes two professional photographs. One professional photo will be printed, the other will be available online. You get a tour program, a t-shirt in any size, from small to extra, extra large. So, you know, we accommodate everybody, all shapes and sizes. Two autographs, a front row seat to the evening of, and you'll be able to send in a question via email that you will be able to ask Paul Heyman during the main show if it's good. So think about it. There's also your non-extreme VIP package. That's £90 plus booking fee, where you'll get one professional printed photograph of Paul Heyman, an autograph, priority seating, and the opportunity to send in a question again. And there's also a general admission ticket, which just gets you, but I say just, but it's not just, but you get entry to the show, which is going to be wonderful. That does not include a meet and greet, though. So don't get in touch asking, you know, if I buy one of these, can I upgrade to the meet and greet on the day? No, you can't. That's not how it's going to work. All these tickets go on sale Friday, May 20th. At different times, though, London VIP and general admission go on sale at 12 noon. Manchester VIP and general admission go on sale at 2 p.m. And Glasgow VIP and general admission go on sale at 4 p.m. And you have to go to insidetheropes.co.uk to make sure you're within a chance of getting yourself some tickets. I think that's everything you really need to know. But yes, it's Inside the Ropes, an evening with Paul Heyman, the advocate of extreme, presented by your good friends at squaredcircle.com.
Textbook. Absolutely textbook.
That was lovely.
Textbook we'll be doing at the start, guys. But anyway, carry on. Do you know what I feel like? Because I feel like a teacher who's come into the classroom and two of the naughty kids have been left alone for about 20 minutes. And now I've got to come in and restore some order. And they're drawing dicks in their jars.
We're not the ones talking about ladies.
Sandra drew a vagina, actually.
I did. Way to be sexist, Robert.
Sorry.
Women are made of it in Raw, and you're taking it back 20 years.
Yeah.
Maybe
you should draw a vagina, Kenny.
Well, I'm talking to one.
Sandra is more than her genitals. How dare you?
Sandra, save us from
so Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt had a pretty interesting exchange on Twitter the other day.
Tell us more. Like, did he have a car?
Tell me more. Tell me more. Yeah. Okay. So Finn Balor tweeted a lovely picture of himself in a rocking chair.
I'm taking it back 20 years. And Grease references. Good Lord.
It's more than 20 years. It was 79 something. I don't know. But
70.
Yeah. But Finn Balor tweeted a lovely photo of himself in a rocking chair, as his profile photo was No Way Jose, because it was hashtag No Way Day. Basically because Twitter, I don't know. Twitter is wonderful sometimes. But Bray Wyatt noticed this and said nice chair to Finn Balor. And Finn said, want it back? And Bray said, no thanks. Last time I saw it, The Undertaker blew it up with lightning. And Finn Balor tweeted at Bray Wyatt a crying face and said, that big meanie boots, I'll get him back for you. At WrestleMania 33, hashtag demon versus dead man. And Bray Wyatt said, good luck with that. I guess that leaves me and Triple H for the main event. Hashtag down with the machine, question mark. And then Finn tweeted, Finn and Triple H versus Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt said, be careful what you ask for. You never know who might be listening. And seriously, wouldn't that be so great?
Peter fucking Marks.
I'd say,
well, no, I'm kidding. It was very cute.
Bray Wyatt versus Triple H and Finn Balor versus Undertaker are two matches that interest me more than any men's match at WrestleMania this year. Even over Shane and Undertaker, like, those are two fresh matches with new people involved against older people.
Indeed. But you specifically said men's matches because you, just like me and Sandra, I bet, are looking forward to Bayley versus Lady Bulls. At WrestleMania next year.
I do think that Bayley versus Stephanie is just so much money.
I think it could be amazing. I think
if Stephanie's willing to play heel,
she would have to play heel and she would have to lose.
I mean, you know, as good as the contract signing was on Raw, you know, part of it was about making Stephanie look good, which was kind of worrying, you know.
Well, that is par for the course. It's the frustrating thing of Stephanie McMahon, right? She's so good at what she does. Like, she's so good at it, but she, as much as she wants to talk about how great it is to play a bad guy on TV, she doesn't seem really willing to even play the bad guy on TV. And that's what's frustrating, because when she's in full proper heel Stephanie mode, she's so good.
Yeah. And she because like she does things like she allows somebody to get a little bit of comeuppance on her, like Vicky Guerrero can throw her in the mud or the chocolate pudding, or Ronda Rousey can arm drag her, or, I don't know, Brie Bella can get her arrested. But in the end, she always wins. Every time, which is kind of annoying. I mean, and then, of course, the one time where somebody hits it has to be Roman Reigns. You know, oh, for fuck's sake. Ugh.
By accident.
Although, how much of a bigger pop would it have been in that stadium had Stephanie speared Roman?
Yes, it is sad to say that the only way that Roman Reigns can be cheered is if he deliberately beats a woman. But that is the case. Isn't it really strange that Roman Reigns is such a black hole of, you know,
everything,
charisma, that he has sucked the Usos into his whirlpool of booze?
To be fair, though,
the Usos are kind of shit.
The Usos are rubbish.
They're not, but no. Okay. I feel like I need to stick up for them just a little bit here, right? They're not rubbish. They're very boring as characters, and they were just kind of cheered generally because people were like, oh yeah, okay, like the Usos, they usually wrestle a decent match. It's never terrible, and you know they telegraph their dives too much, but it's fine, and you know they have the face paint and they're colorful and whatever. So
it's like Kofi Kingston before the New Day.
Yeah, they were like always on the verge of possibly getting booed if they were to go up against a team people liked more, but literally by association, like, is just they just start getting booed just because they're associated with Roman Reigns. And I mean, again, I haven't seen, so I can't really comment, but I guess you can confirm or say this is not true, but I've heard people say that they were in Greensboro, I think, for Raw, and that's not necessarily a town where, you know, they usually have sort of smarky crowds, and they were really heavy booing Roman.
Yeah, they were, and they were heavy. So somebody put out like a meme or a picture today, and it was like comparing like WWE trying to replicate something that was big elsewhere, and I can't remember what the other example was, but the example for tag teams was. Right, so the example was that, you know, WWE, when they didn't have the Road Warriors, created Demolition. And now, because they don't have the Young Bucks, they've got the Usos. And I'm like, the Young Bucks are a million times more charismatic and interesting than the Usos. Like, Demolition were actually good back in the day. So I don't want Demolition ever compared to the Usos.
Well, it's like, what do we even really know about the Usos? I mean, the most we have ever gotten character from them was in a documentary that wasn't even on Raw.
Or that Jay is Jay the one that's married to Trinity, or is that Jimmy?
No, Jimmy.
Jimmy. Well, we know he's a horny bastard.
That's true.
Because he always wanted his hole at the shows.
Yeah, like they couldn't go, 3 days or whatever without having sex.
What was it he called it? He called it Cookie.
Cookie, yeah.
He needs to get some cookie. Robert, if somebody came up to you and said they needed some cookie, would you think it was that?
Definitely not. But I'm glad I know that now.
In case you're ever propositioned for cookie in the street, yeah. Don't be like, yes, yes, please. Chocolate chip.
Yum, yum. Oh, dear. I did not know that about them. That's creepy.
Anybody want to talk about anything else before I go off to speak to the lovely Rich Brennan before you guys talk about NXT? Anything else we want to chat about?
I feel so dazed. I feel like I've woken up. From like a car crash, and I don't know what's going on. Like, I just, like, what is even happening? I just feel not being around with like a proper beginning has just really, is really just thrown me off. And I really hope that people don't like just listen for the very first time and think we're always this disorganized. Because this we are, but we tend to hide it better.
Yeah, we generally hide it behind musical breaks and whatnot, but.
Like, have you two been drinking?
No, I wish I had.
Yeah, it's rare for me. I'm not drinking while podcasting this time.
It's a nice place to be. I was going to just ask about... some people have been talking about this online, and I just wonder what you guys think. What do you think of the name The Club? Fans or not?
I mean, I guess it's not that inventive. You know, it's... But at the same time, like, if they tried to do something else, you know, maybe it would just have been too weird or stupid or silly. Like, I mean, it's very generic, but at least calling them the club at least allows for the speculation to remain that they will eventually become the Balor Club. That is quite a neat way to bring that in and have Finn Balor try to overthrow AJ Styles as the leader or something like that. And, you know, that might never happen. That's just, you know, fantasy booking based on some t-shirts. But it's more concrete than what some people base their fantasy booking on, I guess.
But I think so, it's smart, though, because it leaves the speculation open, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what keeps
it interesting. I really don't mind it that much. I don't mind it that much. I think it's fine. I mean, yeah, I mean, yes, it's not the most exciting name. But if they'd gone for something else, I just think it wouldn't have... just wouldn't have worked, you know.
I really like Gallows and Anderson's music. I think it's a pretty good theme tune.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't really been like having strong reactions to them either way, I guess. Like, I
maybe,
like
maybe
them.
Maybe that's because Roman Reigns keeps beating them up all the time.
That could be.
they get no like. Well, it's funny. I mean, I feel really like. Luke Gallows to me is like one of the best like feel good stories in wrestling. You know, he leaves WWE like 6 years ago and nobody would have ever thought he was coming back. And then he goes to TNA and does the Aces and Eights thing, and then that he kind of seems like he's done. And then he goes to New Japan and becomes this like kind of really huge star, and now he's back in WWE. So I'm really invested in wanting him to succeed. Like, I really hope he does, but I think that him and Anderson just need to get away from Roman Reigns.
Everybody needs to get away from Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. Robert, anything else that's on your mind, wrestling-wise?
No. No, I really don't think there is.
No. Okay. Well, Sandra and Robert are now going to talk to you about NXT from last week, which I'm sure will include plenty of chat about No Way Jose. And
well, no, he's not on the show, so it won't.
No, because Sandra also talks about things that are going on in NXT. And he's one of the things
about
that's
no
going
Okay.
Oh, okay. I just thought it would come up. But I will be back on Thursday with Robert for another episode of Inside the Ropes. We'll have Rich Brennan on it. Robert will be in less of a huff because there's an intro.
I'm not in a huff. That sounds like I'm in a huff.
That's 100% you're in a huff.
That's like the noise. That's like what people in a huff say to say they're not in a huff.
That's like saying, it's fine, I'm not upset.
If you keep saying I'm in a huff, then I'll be in a huff. That kind of thing.
It's like the thing where somebody says, oh, it's fine, just go. Just go, I don't mind. When you know they totally mind.
Like, that is the worst thing you could possibly do is go, but I'm telling you to go because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm dating you to make me sad.
Okay.
Anyway, you go interview Rich Brennan for Thursday. You go.
Okay, bye.
Because I guess we are doing an intro to this segment. We didn't do an intro to the podcast. We're doing an intro to this segment, though. It's time to talk about NXT. And I have Robert back with me. Back with me? I don't know. We didn't really leave. This whole show is very, very off the cuff. Very whatever. We're just going with it. We're going with it, Robert. We're
We are. But just to settle my obsessive-compulsive podcast disorder, I will just remind everybody that the podcast you're listening to is Inside the Ropes. Hello. We talk about pro wrestling twice a week. And if you want to interact with us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/TheInsideNetwork or simply search for Inside the Ropes. You can also get us on Twitter at @Inside_TheRopes, @Bertie_ITR, and @SandraRuthRW. The other guy doesn't get a plug. He's got too many followers anyway. So that's there. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk is our website, which obviously at the moment is the hub for all the information and this coming Friday tickets for our Evening with Paul Heyman tour in the UK this July. So please go check that out. But as Sandra said, we're here to talk about NXT. Unlike Raw, I have had time to watch NXT because NXT aired a little while ago and I had time to do it. Not like Raw, which airs at like 2 a.m. and then I had to go to school all day. Ugh.
And NXT is an hour long, so that makes it nice.
Yes, it's much easier to squeeze NXT into your busier schedule.
The episode this week. What did you think? I thought the through line of Finn Balor was good. It made for kind of a composed thing. And the opening video package with him, like, should I embrace the demon and whatnot? I just love that video package and I could watch it on repeat.
Yes. Very good video package. Great intro. I think one of the consistent, I mean, not every episode does it, but one of the consistent things about Inside the Ropes, oh dear, there is nothing consistent about Inside the Ropes, but one of the most consistent things about NXT is that sometimes they really do produce a solid 60-minute TV episode that feels like it's got something going on in it. But there's something that I did want to bring up, because I think that I'm probably going to be in the extreme minority here. I don't know, like, I don't feel like I sort of dip my toe into the NXT fandom waters as often as you do. I think you talk to more kind of hardcore NXT fans than I do. But to me, the general vibe on the Drifter is that people hate him. And I thought he was really good on this episode.
I think the Drifter might pull a Baron Corbin and get kind of good.
Because, I mean, people are sort of I've forgotten in this modern era, this new era, if you want, of wrestling, that, you know, if you hate someone so much that you want to see them getting beaten up and you just think they absolutely suck, like, that can actually secretly be the sign of a good heel. You know, people are only just coming around to the idea of The Miz actually being really good. And Balor came out and, you know, I still have the same issues I've got with Finn Balor from, you know, the past year. Like, I still don't think the promos are his strength, and I don't know. I think he. He's
no, fine. They're still staccato and very exposition-y, although having lost now gives him a more interesting character arc than...
Yes, it does, yeah.
Spoiler for Finn's.
But when this guy came out and he started singing basically, like, a put-down song to Finn Balor, and he's standing behind him, you know, strumming the guitar, singing this insult song, and Balor is just seething with rage, it really made me laugh. Like, I was like, this is very entertaining. Like, this guy is such a dick. And then they're going to have the match in the main event, which, you know, spoiler, it doesn't go very long. But that's perfectly fine in this situation. You know, he's just, you know...
He's fodder for an episode.
Yeah, but he's a great antagonist in this episode. And I kind of liked it.
I really liked it too, actually. This is definitely the most I've liked the Drifter. I've been getting the vibe for maybe a couple weeks, like, okay, like, Sandra, remember when Baron Corbin was the worst for a very, very long time? And he's still not, like, the greatest, in my opinion. But he got really interesting with this whole, I'm going to beat up the indie kids and I'm going to, you know, I'm so entitled because I'm Baron Corbin and I'm amazing. Elias Samson has managed to garner that boredom, Eva Marie go away heat, and that's making it way more interesting for me. Like you say, when he comes out and interrupts Finn Balor, and then like when Finn Balor just Pele kicks him, I mean he's getting boos, not quite to the level of Eva Marie, but he's getting booed way more than any other heel on the show.
Yeah, and it's proper. Oh god,
it's like go the fuck away, and that's why it reminds me of Baron Corbin.
And I know a lot of people like to throw around the term X-Pac heat, and there's a lot of quote-unquote smart fans who like to say, oh, you know, he's not a great heel. He's got go-away heat.
I think he's harnessing it.
I think he's harnessing it too, and I enjoyed it. Admittedly, I've not seen as much of him as other people, so a lot of people are going to be going, oh, but you're just saying that because this is one of the few times you've seen him.
And, I think that's an important perspective, though, because like those of us who've seen him be so boring, and seriously... so boring and so bad, and there's a reason he has that go away heat, because no one cares about Elias Samson. Like, it's not quite Shining Star level, it's close to Shining Star level, like, it's bad, but I think the fact that he's managing to harness it and turn it into something, I mean, let's not forget that's how a lot of the greatest characters in NXT have come about, right? Like Bo Dallas being a super super boring babyface and getting booed like crazy, this is the same kind of heat. And, I mean, granted, Samson started as a heel, Bo Dallas started as a face and turned it into a great heel thing, but that's how characters evolve and grow and change, and that's one of the things that's actually possible on a show like NXT that isn't as possible on a show like Raw, which has such a big audience and it's so long and, you know, it's on such a big stage or whatever. NXT is a little more, you know, underground, a little more punk rock, and you can do stuff like this and make it work. So, I know Kenny always likes to talk about, well, can I see it on the main roster? Can I not see it on the main roster? Like, right now, no, I can't see this kind of thing working on the main roster, but NXT and the main roster are very, very different products, too. So,
and that's okay. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really watch NXT and think about whether or not I can see it on the main roster. I just take it for what it is.
Yeah, I do too.
And enjoy it for that. I think if you spend too much time concerned about what will work on the main roster, then you're maybe doing yourself a disservice. Like, you're sort of cornering yourself into maybe not enjoying some things that you could enjoy more if you weren't dwelling too much on that.
Yeah, I kind of like to watch
it. But that's just me and my silly opinion from my brain.
Well, I agree with your silly opinion from your brain. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm super intrigued by Elias Samson and I want to see more of it. No, it doesn't. It means I don't want to see him. But if he's on my television screen, I want to see him get kicked in the head. So thank you, Finn Balor, for that.
Yeah, I mean, if all he ever does is interrupt people at, like, a moment of super popularity just so everyone goes, ah, Christ! Then I'm kind of okay with the kind of... I mean, I'm even laughing at myself just thinking of the number of times he can do something like that. So,
like, I mean, Elias Samson trying to talk shit to Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, we had Nakamura versus Elias Samson already, but, you know, Elias Samson interrupting Samoa Joe at some point could just be delightful, I think. And I just,
yeah,
I liked
just for
how
Joe to smash him.
Yeah. Like, I like how unexpected it was, because you don't expect Elias Samson to come out and interrupt Finn Balor during a promo, right? You expect Samoa Joe to come out and be like, I am Samoa Joe and we are feuding. You don't expect Elias Samson to strum a guitar, but that's part of what makes it work, because then Finn Balor has, you know, a motivation for this episode to carry him through. And we get that segment after the Eric Young promo where Andrea catches up with Finn as he's leaving the ring, and they're walking down the hall, and I just really liked this segment. I thought it felt urgent because Finn was just pissed. He was like, I was gonna make a challenge to Samoa Joe or call him out or whatever. You interrupted me. Now I'm pissed at you. I'm gonna kick your butt. And it just made it feel like it mattered. Not everything has to be a long feud. Like, we need those long feuds, but we also need good television in the middle of those long feuds. And yeah. I think that's what I appreciated about it. And it makes the NXT world. Yeah. And it makes the NXT world feel like more of a whole too, because anyone could interrupt anyone. Anyone could interact with anyone else. And that's how NXT used to be back in the day, back in the olden days, you know, before it got to be such a big thing. You had all kinds of crazy character interactions like this. And that's what I like to see. And I think that's why I'm getting more excited about NXT lately, too. Eric Young didn't really do much to make me excited about him existing. I don't know if you had anything to say about him.
Not really. Other than, I mean, this is so mean. This is really mean. So, I mean, I'm not going to whisper it. But when I saw him, the first time, this is so horrible. I'm sorry, Eric. But the first thing I thought when I saw him was, oh, it wasn't just a one-off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's actually here now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is he? Is he not? Because I think James Storm did a .com interview kind of like that, too. I mean, it's not signed. Maybe it was just a, hey, look at social media, really got into it, and they're setting up something that maybe could happen, but maybe won't. And I wouldn't be like, I mean, if he comes and actually does something cool, then awesome. I'm not willing to write it off because I haven't seen enough of it, but it didn't really set my world on fire, I'll be honest. But American Alpha versus John Skyler and Corey Hollis, I thought was a fun match. It was a squash. John Skyler and Corey Hollis, who you might also recognize as whatever their names were on Raw, losing to the Shining Stars of the Caribbean via Shining Star, because that's their finisher also, and it's terrible. I'm really stuck on the Shining Stars lately, but Jordan Gable are fantastic, and I'm in love with them.
And the crowd were very, very happy to see them. You could hear it; they were, you know, the palpable joy in the air when those guys came out, which is always nice to see.
It's one of those matches where you don't even mind that it's a squash and that it's the outcome is so obvious, because you're excited to see them. They are big enough stars that you want to see them, and you don't really care who's in the ring across from them.
And it looks like we're probably going to get another match with the Revival,
and I'm so excited.
I mean, again,
the Revival did come out on the ramp to, you know, stare at them mid-match.
And then I liked how they did the whole not this time. Yeah, we'll beat you up some other time.
What I also like is that Jason Jordan and Chad Gable were not so impossibly distracted by them that it really threw them off. They looked at them. They were like, "Yeah, you're on the ramp. You're not doing anything. Let's finish the match and kill these guys." And they do, because they're the champions and they win. Because sometimes that's what makes sense, and I think it's great. And Kathy Kelly interviewed Shinsuke Nakamura after that match, and Kathy Kelly is kind of, she's getting there, I think.
She's fine. She's inoffensive.
I think she's garnering favor with me lately. Some of her facial reactions are kind of great. At first, I wasn't a huge fan, but I'm always wary of new people coming. But Shinsuke Nakamura is just a gift from the gods.
What does he say? But it's like four words or something.
She asked him about Alex Riley and his rage, and he goes, "Rage? Shaking with rage?" And then shakes around off screen. Like, he shakes himself off screen.
Yeah. It was a... I mean, well, to say it was an unceremonious farewell to Alex Riley would be an understatement. But
from rage to release.
Yeah, the raging release. Oh, that sounds like a porno.
Like a porno.
I am kind of ready to see Nakamura in a feud.
I would like that.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love the entrance. I love him. He's fantastic, but... See, since WrestleMania, he really just has been coming out on the episodes that he's on and just, like,
squashing people.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, that's probably what you should be doing. But we are heading to another takeover. I see the thing is I don't read the spoilers either, but I do use Twitter a lot, so I do see people like murmuring about stuff like, so I'll not say it, but I think I've heard who he might be wrestling there, but I don't know, and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, we'll see what happens.
I'm interested. I'm definitely interested to see what happens. I have no idea.
Right. Okay.
So no spoilers, no. But. No, it's kind of a testament to Nakamura and his charisma that, like, he's essentially doing the same thing as Finn Balor did for ages, that Apollo Crews did for ages, whatever. But I just like him.
Yeah, he's
so
cool.
I don't mind it as much. But, he's I mean, if cool. I look at the situation logically, then I shouldn't like him any more than I like a lot of these other people. But he's just, I don't know.
He's just a awesome. Cool, sexy, space alien man.
Yeah, I mean, compare that to Austin Aries, who talked to William Regal in The Office, who is, you know, I didn't come here to just be good, I came here to be great, da-da-da-da-da. And, thankfully, we're finally maybe getting Austin Aries embedding himself into the world of NXT, because Blake and Murphy come, have that conversation with him.
Mm.
I loved this probably way more than you loved this, just because I'm a hopeless Blake and Murphy fangirl, but also...
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, these guys.
Yeah. Oh, and I adore them so much. But also, it's kind of occurred to me this week that maybe the way to embed yourself in a story in NXT and to maybe feel like part of the world is just to interact with Alexa Bliss somehow. Because for some reason, she just brings people in. And Blake and Murphy are kind of that utilitarian, we are annoying, we are going to challenge people. We don't win anymore, but we were the tag team champions, so we sort of have some credibility there-ish. I don't know. For some reason, this intrigues me, and I'm kind of into it. And we're going to get Austin Aries and Vacant, so far. Austin Aries and partner of his choosing versus Blake and Murphy next week. And it's again, it's not something that's going to like light my world on fire and be this epic feud and be amazing, but I'm looking forward to it as an episode of television. And sometimes that's enough for me. And if it leads to Austin Aries in maybe a story, awesome.
Yes. I also think that if he wants to reclaim his excellence and not just be very good, then he needs to find his collection of capes.
Yes.
Because he's really, I mean, the little waistcoats are fun, you know.
I've heard
funky,
tell of
fresh.
These capes.
They say that he's a, you know, cool, casual guy. But the greatest man who ever lived wears a cape. So I want to see some capage.
I am pro capes.
Some capering?
Wrestling.
Capering?
Capage. Also kind of funny, Austin Aries seems to have a thing for bananas lately. Like last week's... on
Good source of potassium.
Yeah. And on Twitter, he was tweeting something about his potassium game being on point and he was eating a banana. And, you know, if Austin Aries' new gimmick could be eats bananas, I'd be into it. But it was kind of funny in the Blake and Murphy segment, Austin Aries called them rude for interrupting his conversation with William Regal and didn't have the decency to bring Alexa Bliss with you. And they put Alexa Bliss in front of them. And one of them goes, we're not rude. You know, they did bring her with them. And Alexa Bliss is in the next match, actually, versus Rachel Ellering. Rachel Ellering's NXT debut. And I didn't know this until after I saw the match, which I thought was fine. It was fun. It was, you know, a few minutes of Alexa Bliss looking mean and weird, which is great. But Rachel Ellering's only been training for, like, 5 months with Lance Storm.
And this is, like, the second Hall of Fame daughter in as many weeks. Because we had...
Tessa Blanchard.
I was going to say Tully Blanchard's daughter. Now we've got Paul Ellering of Legion of Doom, Road Warrior fame, I guess. And that weird puppet that I can't remember the name of. Probably for the best. It's terrible. I don't know who... Who will be along next week as the Hall of Fame daughter's stable grows.
I mean, is this just going to build up to Alexa Bliss versus Natalia and then Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte? And
I don't know.
Tamina's injured, otherwise they could... Well, I don't know. Is she still a Hall of Fame daughter? I'm not sure.
It depends what the judge says.
Yeah, true enough. But no, I thought it was a fun match and I really love Alexa Bliss and I think she's great. We got a segment with Kathy Kelly and Bayley and Nia Jax after that, and it made me think of our conversation last week, and I don't want to see this.
No. I don't really... I also thought that, like, Bayley just seemed a little bit too okay with everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, she didn't really seem very serious. She's kind of like, choked you out before, I'll choke you out again.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I feel like you should... I mean, I'm not saying that, like, she's, you know, rubbish or anything, but I just think that, you know, it's hard enough to sell me. I mean, like I said to you last week, I think Nia Jax was hurt a little bit by Bayley dispatching her. I mean, I thought it was fine at the time. Like, I enjoyed it as part of Bayley's championship run. And it was a good story to tell then. But, you know, if they were always intending to bring her back into the title scene, then I think what they really need to be doing before this match is Bayley really needs to sell that maybe she was lucky.
And I feel like Bayley should be doubting herself a little more because she just lost to Asuka.
Yeah, and she's not. And she's not really showing much character development.
Not really, and that disappoints me from Bayley. I don't know. I almost wonder if she's like, I just want to be on the main roster now.
Hmm.
But I don't know. We shall see how it goes. I'm not that excited about this match. I mean, I think it could be good. I don't really know what we have to gain from another Bayley versus Nia Jax match, because if Bayley loses, then, like, what does that mean for Bayley? I'm excited for Nia versus Asuka, but
unless they sort of kickstart Bayley's slump of self-doubt by her losing to Nia Jax.
That's true. And then she goes back.
You know, maybe like the Asuka loss, she was like, well, you know, she's tough. And then she's like, oh no, I'm still losing again. Like, maybe I'm losing my touch.
Yeah.
Or something. I would be happy with that.
Maybe we get a triple threat for the title.
Maybe. I don't know if I really want to see that though.
I'm not sure. We'll see.
When is the special? When is
June 8th?
Oh, it's not that far away at all.
It's not that far, so I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what they build with it. But yeah, we'll see you next week, I guess. But yeah, the main event, we did see Finn Balor versus the Drifter, Elias Samson. And I mean, like you said, it wasn't a long match. It wasn't particularly great or anything. Elias Samson is perfectly competent as a wrestler, but the match just, yeah, it was fine. Finn won. Which is how it should have been. Like, I think it told a good episode story. And, you know, after the match, Finn Balor, you know, he has dispatched Elias Samson now, and he can get back on the microphone, finish his statement from the beginning of the show, which I like too. It was a continuity. It was like, I was speaking, you interrupted me. I've taken care of that interruption. Now I will finish. And, you know, he said that he wants to fight Samoa Joe again. Samoa Joe comes out. They start to brawl. And then all hail William Regal coming down saying, this is
your I will not game. Have this bloody descend into chaos.
No, because I am bloody, William Regal. Hear me roar. I am the general manager. This is an NXT ring, and it is not yours, and it is mine, and I make the decisions around here. And on June 8th at TakeOver, we will have a rematch, he said. And we found out today that rematch is taking place inside of a steel cage.
Now, this is something I did want to talk about. So, like you say, they did a sort of Facebook Live video today, despite investing millions in tout a few years ago, I guess.
didn't
work out so well. Where William Regal announced this. And it's just, I think this is a real reflection of just how different NXT and the main roster is, because NXT have been very excruciatingly spading in their use of gimmick matches.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a ladder match. They've had an Iron Man match. And that's kind of it.
They've had two ladder matches.
Okay, sorry, yeah. But in terms of gimmicky stuff, like, that's kind of been it.
Two out of three falls and one no DQ match that I can think of.
Yeah. But in terms of like introducing a kind of outside element it's just really funny to me that these two worlds can coexist, where, you know, people are actually, and I am excited about this, because they've never done it before. It's like, wow, a steel cage. Meanwhile, on the main roster, you know, steel cage matches mean nothing. They're not special at all, to the point that if you want to have one, you have to hang a lot of shit from the cleaning cupboard on it and call it something else.
And give it a theme song.
Yeah, and try to get people involved in it, which is just mad to think that the ethos and thought behind these two shows under the same, you know, corporate umbrella are so different. And that the fans who watch both, like, I imagine there are fans today who are completely apathetic about this Asylum match on Sunday, but got very giddy at the prospect of the first ever steel cage match in the NXT, which is strange, but I think it just goes to show that, you know, if you don't overdo the gimmicks, then when you use them, they mean something.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for these guys. I mean, this is a feud that, yeah, like, yeah, this feels like it's time to use the steel cage. You know, it's time to.
Well, what's cool about it is that it was set up with that brawl that they had at a live event. So again, they're continuing the story of Finn Balor and Samoa Joe on live events, because they, you know, they got into it, they were brawling, the entire locker room had to come out and try to break them apart, and then Finn Balor, you know, did a tope onto Joe from inside the ring. So William Regal used that in the Facebook Live video, which I did watch, and said, you know, you obviously, the two of you, I don't know if he said, like, can't be contained or whatever. I think they put that as a caption on the tweet about the brawl. But it's also logical.
Yeah.
And that's something I appreciate.
I think that's why it works, because, you know, there's no real reason for Ambrose and Jericho to be having that match on Sunday.
No.
You know, but this one feels like it's such a simple... It's, I mean... The Finn Balor Samoa Joe story, I mean, they sustained it for like 6 months nearly, and they're getting yet another main event out of it, and only now are they having to pull out a gimmick, and it's something as simple, something as fundamental. It's just a very fundamental old school wrestling feud that's been told really well, and I'm really looking forward to seeing these two guys go at it again.
Yeah, I am too. And Finn Balor,
I think this will be it, though. I think this is it.
I think this is probably it. And this is the most interested I've been in Finn Balor, or the most interested I've been in the NXT title scene since Sami Zayn. Because all of a sudden, Finn Balor doesn't have it anymore. Samoa Joe's the champion.
Who do you want to win?
Joe.
Me too.
I want Joe to win.
I want Joe to win too. I really like him as a champion.
And I feel like a cage means that Joe could win without pinning the demon.
Oh yeah, because the demon
could be part of it also.
Yeah, I mean, if they're thinking ahead, they probably don't want the demon to have been pinned in NXT.
Right.
Before he, because this would all kind of work out, because you got to assume that Roman and AJ, you know, possibly a third pay-per-view match out of those two. Maybe. And if not, then, you know, the timing is all just about right for Finn to lose in that cage and then come and...
And do something.
Do something with that club. Could be wrong, but...
Yeah. I think what's exciting to me is that I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I'm fairly sure that Samoa Joe will win this match, but in terms of what that means for Finn, in terms of what that means for the main roster, in terms of what that means for the club, for whoever, like, I don't know if Finn will join the club right away when he comes up. I don't know if he will be the evil mastermind. I don't know if he will side with the Rome. Who knows? Like, who knows what's going to happen, and I think that's what's exciting about it. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the coming weeks of television. It's nice to be this invested in NXT again, too, because the pre-Takeover Dallas holding pattern and then the access tapings after that were just kind of months of not a whole lot happening. And now I feel like there's a lot more happening, and it's getting back to the fun NXT that I've loved so much. So thanks.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be a good summer. We've got all this fun stuff happening on NXT. We've got the club, obviously the upcoming Lady Balls angle, which we're all very excited about.
Of course. Of course.
So I think it's going to be quite a fun summer.
Golden Truth. Which,
well,
I'm still so excited about. I'm the weird thing here. We know this.
Yeah, I think you're in your own little club for, yes, the Golden Truth thing.
It's okay.
Although I really think that they should be called Febreze, though, the other Fandango and
they absolutely should Febreze. Be called Febreze. Breezango is just ridiculous, and I don't know what they're even doing.
Sounds like a crap cocktail, a Brizongo. But
yeah, it kind of
Febreze
does.
sounds good. I like Febreze.
It sounds fresh.
Yeah. Although I always did think that the tagline for Febreze should be like, Febreze, for people who don't clean their clothes.
Yeah.
Which is not really what it's for. I mean, they're like, oh, it's a fabric freshener. You know, if your clothes have been hanging up for a while, you know, you can freshen them up. And it's like, no. It's just when you are really lazy and tired and you don't want to wash your shirt, so you squish it with Febreze and you walk around to get another day out of it. That's just be honest in your advertising, guys. It's just to, you know, really try and get those sweat patches to smell like summer fruits or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
And hey, we've all done it.
We've all done it. We've all Febreze. We've all Febreze our pants to get another day out of them. Or maybe that's just me. Oh no! Well, there we go. Sandra also.
I've totally done it. Cards on the table. Absolutely has been done more than once in my home. But yeah, thanks for coming on to talk NXT and fabric fresheners with me, Robert.
No problem. Thanks. Thanks to everybody for listening, for tuning in this week. Remember, check out insidetheropes.co.uk for all of the details of the tour with the Advocate of Extreme, an evening with Paul Heyman, brought to you by your friends at Inside the Ropes and Squared Circle Tees. It's going to be the hottest ticket of the summer, baby. You really don't want to miss it. And also check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Lots of chatter on there. Including some fun interactions with our advocate-to-be, Paul Heyman, which is always fun. And we will be back later this week with an episode that will feature Kenny's conversation with former NXT alumni, Rich Brennan. So I'm sure you'll be interested to hear that, Sandra.
I'm very excited to hear that. I miss Rich Brennan.
Mm. It is a shame that he's gone. But he did get to be on Inside the Ropes, though, so, you know, lucky him.
Mm-hmm.
He's really fallen on his feet to get on this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, so thanks, thanks for making it this far. I know it was a rocky start. Not pointing any fingers.
Hey, now.
Pointing fingers! and we'll be talking again soon. In fact, well, I know we'll definitely be back next week because it's post-pay-per-view time, so it's always time to pull the chairs up to the round table.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to Extreme Rules, actually. Much as
Extreme Rules round table. We'll decorate the table with barbed wire and reconvene the nation of conversation.
So sit on flaming chairs, burn ourselves alive. It'll be exciting.
It'll be exciting. Okay, we shall see you later in the week, sexy podcast downloaders.